when you go on holiday, when you go to bed and breakfast, hiya mate. I think one of the worst things, sorry, don't look around. If I do that, don't look around. Sorry, that's a very bad thing to do. One of the worst things I can see on a form or an information sheet when I go away is continental breakfast. Because that means that it's not a full English, Welsh, Scottish. It's a full thing. Even though I'm almost totally vegetarian now, that's still a weak moment. But and the reason I say that is I normally like to bring in preaching a bit of a solid breakfast, you know, a bit of a sort of, you know, with the eye, you got the bacon, the eggs, whatever. And this is going to be more of a continental breakfast. And you know, in a continental breakfast, you're faced with the continent and its strangeness. Cheese. Well, I guess in certain cultures, cheese for breakfast is good. But it's basically a mix. So what I'm saying is, it's going to be a mix of things. There's not really a sort of nice solid plan to this. I'm just going to share some stuff that's been happening recently and occurring recently. And you're going to have to choose what you want, you know, whether you go for the fruit or the cheese or the yogurt, or you're going to, you know, jump up and down and say, I insist on sausage and eggs. Paul, could you get my water, please? We're just making the most of your last day. I just, visitors, we do love to see you, and it's normal service will be resumed as soon as possible. Excuse me. Oh, God, it's so tricky. Right. Okay, so recently we've been looking at Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians, and I really felt it was a book that we needed to look at because I spent a day praying and that's all I got. So that's what I brought. And I had an email the other day from someone in the church saying, I'm not really clear why we're doing 1 Thessalonians. And I thought, I totally agree with you. Because it's not a sort of wham-bam type letter. And in fact, it was only that we had 4 confirmations of the fact that it should be that I went for it. So I still feel that it's what God wanted to say to us and wants to say to us. And I would encourage you to read it. I would strongly encourage you to read it. And one thing that has started to make some sense, and theologically I know this is dodgy, so I'm not preaching, I'm sharing, is that the focus of the letter really is about how a community lives as an example of Christ's body with something imminent coming. And the something imminent in Thessalonians is the second coming of Christ. And that is affecting how people are living. Some people are giving up work because they're thinking, well, Christ is coming back. Some people are thinking it's all right to do various things because it's not going to matter because Jesus is going to come and sort it out. What Paul is saying is, look, you need to love one another. You need to get your lives in order. Yeah, there's something coming, but community life is really important. You're going to have persecution. You're getting persecution. People aren't going to understand you. And it's very important that you work together, that no one's slacking off, that you are showing your love for one another. The love of Paul comes through so powerfully in that. And it's all the more incredible when you think that Paul started off persecuting the church. So don't get caught in any nonsense about him being a guy that had a lot of love. He was spitting rage and wanted to kill the church. And that's what the Holy Spirit did. The Holy Spirit gave him a love that he could speak of this people and say, if I'm not with you, I feel orphaned. He says, I feel like I want to correct you like a father, but I feel I love you like a nursing mother. There's a beautiful depth of love in that. And it's in the context of this something could be happening. And during this week, I went to a conference this last week, and I went to a conference the week before, and they've really been very significant. And I was made aware of a feeling, a sense that the Holy Spirit is getting ready to move powerfully. is already moving across the world in powerful ways. You know, the fastest growing church in the world is in Iran. You know, where you get 5 years in jail for attending a meeting. Many parts of the world, we don't know how fast the church is growing. Many parts of North Africa, imams, mullahs are coming to Christ, preaching to the mosque, and it's becoming an Isa mosque. Isa, Arabic for Jesus. God is on the move. And God is on the move, I believe, in Wales. There's a terrible trap for us right there. And this is why Thessalonians is so important. Because the trap is, God's going to do it. In the 1904 revival, there were churches that were not touched. Most of Cardiff wasn't really impacted. People got in all sorts of strange attitudes about the movement of the Holy Spirit. It's not a reason for us not to do anything. It's a reason for us to seek Him more, to pray more, to be more available, to love more. Because what is happening is, it's a preparation. You need something to hold something. You need groups of people. You need the body of Christ to be able to receive whatever God is doing. Whatever God is doing. People who come to Christ, they will have to go somewhere. So, at the end of Thessalonians, it says this: rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. We spoke about that. I'm not going to talk about that. This is, do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good, and reject every kind of evil. So there is the endorsement that you are to treat prophecies seriously. And there's a whole way of dealing with prophecies that we're still basically working out. But we are to consider them, and to pray about them, and to consider how we should act in the light of them. Because right the way through the Bible, God speaks, and then people act. Okay? So you can't make revival happen. Revival is a sovereign move of the Holy Spirit. There's nothing that you can do to say, well, this is all laid out now, God, you must come. It's a sovereign work of the Holy Spirit. But you can see, you can read what the signs are, like Jesus said. You can look and see what the signs are. And the Lord will give prophecies. The Lord said, I won't do anything unless I tell my prophets first, and he will say, and he'll give an idea to those who have ears to hear, that he is going to do something, that he is going to move. The Amplified version of that verse says, do not quench, subdue, or be unresponsive to the working and guidance of the Holy Spirit. Do not scorn or reject gifts of prophecy or prophecies, spoken revelations, but test them carefully. Okay, when I say some of this stuff out, you're going to need to then take your responsibility. Before going into that, I just want to read the account of Pentecost, very, very short, just the very first bit, because it emphasizes something. When the day of Pentecost came, so I'm in Acts 2, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And then, of course, that spilled onto the streets, because that noise was like, what is going on? And people went onto the streets. And the church was born. And they went from 120 to 3,120 in a day. And then they had to work that out. And praise God, they didn't have buildings. They had homes. So they just, they had as many homes as they had people. So they just did community. They did community. And their program for discipleship was to live together and share together and have food together and learn together. And they had some big, big issues because they had 3,000 people coming in, and they were on the cusp of the new covenant. So they were trying, and of course this came up again in Acts, where people were saying, we're not being religious enough, we're not doing enough Old Testament stuff. So they had their problems. Like, don't think, once the Holy Spirit came, it must have been easy. It was a nightmare, and Acts is very good at showing us they had arguments and disagreements, but they had unity. I want to really encourage you. I don't want to sound harsh, but when we come together, it's so special. When we come together, we're not gathering. We're gathering as individuals who come together. We're not gathering as separate individuals who come into the same place and then go again. I really want to encourage you not to see Sundays and gatherings as a substitute for your own walk with the Lord. Your own time with the Lord is so special. And I'm not laying any guilt on anybody with that. You have to work it out. Different seasons of life are very, very busy. But if you ask the Father to show you how you maintain that walk in that time, He will show you, because He wants it. He wants it. There are times when we almost crawl to church because we need it, and that is fine and that is good. Especially if you say, help me, I'm feeling like junk today, can you pray for me? You need to be real. But generally this is an overflow of what goes on in our lives, and we come together and it overflows to our Father and we worship Him together. Now, if you're hearing me being critical there, I'm really trying not to be. But it just occurs to me as I look at the scriptures that how often stuff happens when they come together. But it's a personal walk. So there's that two sides. Some people are going too far over this side. I don't need the church. I don't need the church. Me and God, we're great. Well, yeah, you will be for a while. But then you realize how much you need the church. And I realize the church is full of people, and people can be tricky. But do you know what? God's thought of that. About 6 weeks ago, I had a picture in a, I think it was in the staff meeting, actually. And I thought, that's interesting. And then again, it came back that week or the week after in a leaders' prayer meeting. So I shared it. And the picture is this. It's of a child's roundabout, and there are children on it, and it's speeding up. It's getting faster and faster. And I felt the Lord was saying, things are going to speed up. Things are going to start to move. And then we had Into the Deep prayer, and Marv was leading us in a sort of prophetic exercise. So we had pictures that Ruth had supplied. They were all over this table, and I was standing next to the table. I looked down. The picture closest to me was a picture of a child's roundabout going, you know, like where they photoed it, taking the photograph, so it was blurry, so it gave an impression of speed. And it was like, oh, I didn't expect that. That is the picture. So I had this sense that things are speeding up. Then Laura shared that in Little Acorns, in our mother toddler group, things were starting to move. They'd started doing this new work, and you know, you've heard about that. And if you haven't, please talk to these guys, because God is pioneering something over here. God is pioneering something in Little Acorns. It's I almost say it's a prophetic thing. They're like setting a path up, and it started to get a bit sort of, it started to sort of increase. So I'm thinking, well, this is all very interesting. And then I had an email around about the same time from a pastor that I know from a long time ago, and that I thought I've got little in common with. We both worship Christ. Both Christians, but I remember him being very, very anti-charismatic, reformed, and really strong on it, you know. I was, before I was filled with the Holy Spirit, I was very reformed and anti-charismatic as well, so I had an understanding of it. But, well, why does he want to see me? His wife was saying, can we meet up with you, Chris? Can we both come and see you? And I was thinking, I actually thought, first of all, maybe they want to book a room. And I said, well, do you want to talk to Judy? He said, no, Chris, we need to talk to you. Very gracious. So they came in. I had no idea what they were going to say. And they said, and he gave his testimony. And basically he was really reformed and hard and anti-charismatic. And he'd been broken over a long period. Really broken. And he said, it's amazing, when you're broken, you can hear things from God you can't hear any other time. And he met with the Holy Spirit's healing power. And I was sitting in the chair there, I was like, oh, that's amazing. So then he said, well, and this is what we're doing, this is why we wanted to see you, Chris, because we've got a vision for a conference. We're putting a conference on 11, 12, 13 of July in Cardiff. Everyone's welcome. They're trying to get a lot of pastors there. So it was to invite me to this conference in Jan. So I said, that sounds great. I said, what's the theme of it? He said, well, it's the fivefold ministry. I thought, fantastic. I really want to start to understand this because that's how the church should work. Okay, I won't go into that. Let's just say he's already got me. I'm like, I've got free tickets and I like what the theme is. So yeah, that'll do. You know, that famous line, you had me at the free tickets. So I'm going, and then as he's still talking, since a few weeks ago we had a visit from a ministry team, and it really reminded me of the need to just keep saying, you don't have because you don't ask. Keep saying to the Lord, have you got anything? Have you got? That's all it takes. That is the prayer, isn't that? Say after me, Lord, have you got anything?
Lord, have you got anything?
There we are. That's it. It's quite easy, isn't it? You know. Ding. Hold that thought, Dave. Don't put him off now. Hold that thought. The man's right. That's all you're doing. That's all you're doing. You say, Lord, have you got anything? Anyway, so as this man is talking to me, I say, Lord, have you got anything? And I had this vision. I said, whoa. And in fact, I missed the last 5 minutes of what he was saying because his vision came in. I thought, that's really interesting. And then we got to that point where one of us was going to say, should we pray? So he said, should we pray? And I said, look, okay. I said, I can't hold on to this anymore. I said, as you were talking now, I just put up the radar. You just put up the flag, you know, just hold it. Ain't got anything, Lord? And I had a vision. If you don't hear anything else I say today, hear this. Okay? Hear this. This vision was, first of all, it was in color. And I very rarely get visions in color. I tend to get black and white stuff. Just as keys showing me stuff. This was in color. And the color was gold. And it was like a sunset or a sunrise. So the actual light is gold. And there was a man with a scythe. And he was golden. But he had black hair. But he was like golden. Like bathed in a golden light. And seemed to be golden. Not made of metal. You understand me? And the field was golden because it was corn. And he was reaping. He was reaping a harvest. And I knew, I thought, I don't need to be told this. You know, I am a pastor. That's Jesus. So, I said, can I share this picture? I shared the picture. And I looked over and he was shaking a bit. She was weeping. His wife was weeping. I said, so you won't know. Result, that might be from the Lord then, you know, because you never know until you speak it out. That's another thing to remember. You never know until you speak it out. You never get the confirmation in here. You have to. So I said, wow. And he said, Chris, you've no idea what you just said. The reason we're doing this conference is because the Lord has told us to prepare the church for a harvest. And they were in bits. And these are serious people. They're not emotional wrecks like me. You know, they're serious people. And they were, and I thought, wow. And the Holy Spirit came in the room. I know you're not going to, some of you, this is a bit emotional. I'm just going to tell you what it is. It's like I had goosebumps on steroids. I was like, oh my, I could not, because the sense of the Holy Spirit, this wasn't just excitement. I get chuffed when I give a word and someone says, oh, I'll have that, thank you. It doesn't make me go completely goo-goo. But there was such a sense. It was almost like the Holy Spirit said, I brought you two together. Bang. It's not just about us two. Do you know what I mean? You know what I mean? I'm not saying that. It was that meeting. So, this is processing in my mind now. I'm really looking forward to this conference. I will be pushing this conference when we get there because it just looks really exciting, but won't do that now. So, this is in my mind now. Okay, wow, Lord, this is amazing. You're going to do a reaping. There's a season of reaping coming. There's been sowing and sowing and sowing, and there's going to be reaping. Okay. So we went to this conference called Blessed Wells 2 weeks ago. No, I just thought it was going to be really good. There was a guy there called Dutch Sheets. That's not a made-up name. Well, I suppose Dutch is in a sense, but you go. Anyway, he's an amazing author. Oh, 20 years ago, we were looking at his book on intercessory prayer. It's a classic intercessory prayer by Dutch Sheets. He's written 20 books since then. He goes around the world. He's a pastor and does the prophetic and that. And he was speaking, and there were some other guys. He was amazing. One of the other guys, the very first day we got there, you know, it was down in Swansea, so we drove down to Swansea, and we sort of got there late, and you know, you're trying to find your chair, and you got your stuff, and you don't know where, and who's this? First guy, I didn't know who he was, so it took me a while to tune in and everything. And eventually sat down, tune in, and listened to him and everything, and found out later this guy is a full-time elder of a church in America, and, you know, goes over the world, really, really respected, you know, not there's a lot of wackos out there. Most of them, I don't go anywhere near the internet for my teaching. I tend to read and stuff. But, you know, there's a lot of stuff out there. But this guy really, you know, recommended or vouchsafed by people. Anyway, so he's speaking. And I'm gradually tuning in. He's telling this story that over the years, God has given him various words to use in prayer. And he said, a while ago, I don't know the time frame, a while ago, the Lord gave him this word, two words together, Ruach, which is Holy Spirit, or breathe, the breath of the Holy Spirit, the breath of God. And this other word, which began with P, and I can't remember what. And he said, Lord, what does that mean? What does that mean? And he was seeking the Lord through fasting and prayer for months and months. And then he said, the Lord said, right, you're ready to hear what this word means, because it's a key word. The word is reaping. And I think I gave Jan a bruise on the thigh, because I was just going, because I am still trying to get over the fact that the Lord has spoken to me in this way with that. Okay, so the Lord is like, well, Chris is really slow. He needs three of these really to start to get an idea. So reaping. So this guy said, I believe for the church worldwide, there's a reaping coming. There's something where God is moving into bringing many into the kingdom. And this is the call to prepare. The time has gone. There's a lot more that I wanted to say on this in terms of the ways things work together. But I want to give you a quick summary. Through the rest of Bless Wales, what they were saying was that God wants to move on Wales. He's already beginning to move on Wales. And this is weird. I'm just going to give it to you. I can't work it out. The guy said, I think this is a mystery. He said, for some reason, God, sovereign God, Yahweh, seems to need Wales in order to bless the world. And that has been a pattern over previous revivals. If you read the stories of revivals, it's not what happened in Wales, it's what sparks went out into Korea, into the Middle East, into Africa. That's the amazing thing. Read that stuff, it's incredible. Anyway, and he said, and I really believe God is going to do something significant in Wales. We've got New Wine Cymru, up until yesterday, for a few days there. And Pete Gregg was speaking, and he was saying the way that he is seeing stuff happening, he's just seeing an opening. Churches, particularly churches with 5 points of contact into the community, beginning to grow because people know who they are. People don't know who churches are. They don't know what happens in here. This could be a casino. We could be doing anything in here. I don't know why I thought of that first. I might need prayer. But they have no idea, and that's why this community stuff is very important, guys. We want to bless the community, but it gets us known. 5 points of contact, little acorns, tabs, cotes. Work for us to do. But he's also, over the past 3 years, through Mission to Wales, I know just saying that, when I was hearing about it yesterday, it was really causing me problems, because I've struggled with Mission to Wales and that, the whole way that happens. If you don't know what I'm talking about, see me later. But Mission to Wales, sharing the gospel with people on the street, in Wales in the last 3 years, has resulted in 5,000 people coming to Christ. Someone will have to say an amen there or something, hallelujah or something. 15,000 people being prayed for. We were involved in some of that. That is unheard of in terms of all those models. It's just unheard of. And you could almost see it now as a sort of opening up. I need to bring this into land. That's why I always knew this was going to be a continental breakfast. Do you know what I mean? It's just sharing bits and pieces. But this is what you need to know, Woody. God is on the move. God is on the move in the nation that we are in. And I think God is just like the Holy Spirit always. He's only looking for people who ask. He's only looking for places to say help. That's all he needs. But I want to encourage us to take what we have learned recently about fellowship and family. You know, we've been through quite a hard time. We've lost quite a few people. We've been through a pruning. We've realized that we are really important to another. God has given us to another. And we have a vision to build family, to increase family here. Because people need to recognize something. They need to come in and think, what's the culture here? And if they come in and see, well, the culture here is family, it's love. And by family, I don't mean nuclear family. I mean we honor that. But all are family. And there's something we really need to deal with on that. You know, that really came out of that talk when I did a few weeks ago on the whole sex thing, that, you know, the marriage bed is like the way the church needs to honor people at every stage of life. And not be caught up in this thing that is, hear my heart again, right? That it's just about being in couples and it's just having a family that everything is working properly. But it's about every individual being valued and loved with that love of a father and mother. You know, that is a deep love because it comes from Father. And we've got something there, guys. We really need to push into it. If we find ourselves, pick me up. I hold myself account to you. If you find me going down that path of a stereotype, of us saying anyone because of their sexuality or because of their life circumstances in any way is lesser than others, then say, Chris, you're out of order. Because that's not the heart of the Father. God's got work to do in me. God's got work to do in us, I gather. But we have got now, I think, something that we can work towards. This will have a practical outworking in September when students start to arrive and we haven't got Sophie to sort it out. And we're not going to try and run any of that program because Sophie worked very hard and did an incredible amount on the hours she had. What we're going to do is, as a family, learn to love the others. We're going to learn to love those who come in. We're going to open our homes. We're going to see them in twos and threes. We're going to build something. And I don't care what other churches come into this area. I don't care what happens. I know Holy Trinity Brompton is coming over here with 5 full-time staff. And it's going to be like Greenbelt in a church. It's going to be awesome. I want to probably go to some of there myself for some loud rave mad stuff. I know that Vineyard is over here. It's going to plant 5 churches in 5 years. I know that All Nations is up there. I know. But we have got a mandate from God planted here to be who we are. And who we are is family and open and come in and talk with us, but hopefully meet Jesus. Yeah. Okay? Bless you guys. End the continental breakfast. Now the black coffee. I've just noticed my bit of paper. Oh, bless you. God is good. Opportunity to pray. 26th of June, actually the first day of mission to Wales. That's all it is. That's all we got to do is get names in there. We've got 18 hours of prayer. We did 24/7, didn't quite work. 24/1, we're starting with 18 hours. 26th of June, 6 in the morning till midnight. It's the day of the Into the Deep, and Into the Deep will be part of it. But can you sign up to this? And the theme, thank you, the theme is growth. The theme is praying, you know, God move here. God, do what you need. So it's in line with the continental breakfast, sort of part 2. Okay, can you sign up for that? Would you like to stand and I'll pray? Stand if you're able to. You guys got a plan, good. Father, all we can do, really, Lord, is say, here we are. And we're a ragtag bunch. And we got all sorts of stories. We're carrying all sorts of stuff. But we have a Savior called Jesus who loves to meet with us individually and together. So, Father, here we are. Here we are, Lord, wanting to do what's on your heart, wanting to meet with you, wanting to be used by you, wanting to hear from you, Father. So come, Holy Spirit, and take us. Take us into the next phase of this journey, Lord. Move us on from this time into, you know, into the next season. Move us on, oh Father God, into your purposes. And have all the glory and all the praise and all the honor. And Father, how we look forward to people coming and saying, didn't know this went on here. Feels all right. I think I'll hang around a time. And then maybe say, who's this Jesus? Can you arrange a meeting? And even more, we go out on there in the streets and we're at the cafes and we're just chatting, we're at the fair. And people say, so what is it about you? I say, it's Jesus. Have your way, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.